yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. The shout of the king is in the house. I've spoken about vows in the past, but I want to revisit it in the light of some of the challenges we are facing. The word of God is an ongoing truth. It's progressive. And the Bible says that the light or the path of the righteous shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. See, I hear you. And I want just to remind you of certain things that works when nothing else works. That a vow works when nothing else works. When you have your back to the wall and everything fails and you are in a tight place or you are down in the valley, a vow to God can bring you out. See, I hear you. I've tried it and it works. It's true. Oh yes, it's true. God's wonderful promise is true. I've trusted and tested and tried, and I know His promise is true. Let's take it up, everybody. It's true. Oh yes, it's true. God's wonderful promise is true. I trusted and tested and tried, and I know His promise is true. You know why it's true? Because I've trusted it, I've tested it, and I have come to this conclusion that it is true. You can trust it. You can try it. You can test it. And it will stand true. Say amen. Come with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Reading from the 3rd to the 18th verse. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3 to 18.
And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her soul, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
Amen. Let's go back to the word. Let's look at the 11th verse again. The 11th verse.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
Let's look at the pretext and the protext to appreciate the context of the text. Bible scholar did establish that this woman was married for 10 years without a child. She went to the temple with her husband year after year to sacrifice, and she pleaded with God to give her a child, and the Lord will not answer. The Lord will not answer. It is also believed and established by Bible historians that after 10 years of marriage without a child, Elkanah decided to marry another woman so he can have kids. That was very, very important to them in those days and in their culture. When you marry without kids, it's seen as some kind of a reproach. And therefore, he married a second woman, and that was allowed in those dispensations under the covenant they live in. So I don't want you to live here and go and make a doctrine that Papa said you can marry in addition to your wife another woman. I didn't say that. Tell somebody at Papa didn't say that. I didn't say that. So after 10 years of marriage without kids, he married another woman. And as soon as she came in, she started making babies like that. And as she made babies, she started making fun and started looking down Hannah, that you've been here before I came. You have no use to Elkanah. I'm the rear thing. You have nothing to show for. And for 9 years after that, because she was barren for 19 years, according to Bible scholars, 9 years after that, she kept going back to the temple year after year, pleading with God to have children. And the Bible categorically states that God shut a womb. God shut a womb because what her womb was designed to carry was divine. It wasn't ordinary. Her womb was designed to carry something supernatural, divine, prophetic. And until she understood the purpose of that womb and the purpose for which she was given that womb and the design and the programming of God put in place and what her womb was supposed to carry, God said, I will shut it. One of the problems in the church is the fact that a lot of people don't understand why God has favored us. We don't understand why we've been honored. We don't understand why we've been blessed. And ignorance of a purpose results into abuse. There are so many people whom the enemy is after because they are carrying great destinies. They are carrying a divine assignment and a divine purpose. They are carrying a seed. They are carrying a child. They are carrying greatness. They are carrying destiny. And until you understand the reason for your being and the reason for which you came and what you are carrying, the enemy can terminate your life prematurely. I'm saying something very deep. This is by God's grace, my 41 year of preaching. I've seen a lot of things. And it always has to do with what one purpose is and why one is here. Turn to somebody and say, I am on assignment. Tell somebody else, I am not a mistake. I am not a mistake. Tell another person, I am not an accident. I am not an accident. And tell someone else, you are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. You are not. You are on an assignment. Say, I am on assignment. Say, I was born for such a time like this. Why were you not born in another season, generation, or dispensation, but you are born now? I was born for such a time like this to carry out an assignment. I am on assignment. You are on assignment. And until you come to the realization and understanding of why you were born and why you are here, there are some things that God himself will deny you of. The Bible said, and God shut her womb. Shut her womb. Because she would have had a son and would have mishandled the son. She would have had a son and withheld the son from God because she had the son. It's my son, and I will do anything I want to do with my son because he's my son. And parents have influence over their kids, and I'm going to bring him up in the way I want him to go, not in the way of the Lord. Because this one, I gave birth to this one. I went to the labor ward. I planted the seed in the womb of my wife. And this is what I want. The Bible said, train up a child in the way that he must go. Children don't come to stay. They come to go. But we got to train them up in the way God have designed and programmed them to go. That means as parents, we have to be spiritually sensitive enough to be able to download the mind of God concerning our kids to guide them. Because every one of them come with a particular purpose and assignment different from others. Put your hands together, somebody. Pray for me. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute because I'm going somewhere. I'm attempting to say something. Just pray for me. Just pray for me that I'll be able to communicate it intelligently and wisely because I'm attempting to say something that will save somebody's life. Save somebody's life. Amen. You know the reason why some of us, our life was very complicated. And so many things happened to some of us, but for God, some of us wouldn't have made it and come this far was because we had parents who were not sensitive to God and hadn't developed the capacity to hear from God and to know from God what his plan for our life is. So we were brought up in a particular way. We were exposed to things we shouldn't have exposed to. Shouldn't have been exposed to some things. We were brought up in a way that we shouldn't have been brought up. We were trained and mentored in a way that didn't line up with the reason for which we were born. So, some of us, our lives were complicated before we came. And the circumstances under which we were brought up complicated our destiny or our reason for being or our assignment, because our fathers and our mothers had no understanding of who we were and why we came. And God said, girl, I have chosen your womb for a purpose. Your womb will carry a prophet whose word will not fall to the ground. And I will shut your womb until you understand that the thing that breaks your womb open serves my purpose and carries destiny. And after that, I will give you what you want. But before that comes, I will shut your womb. So she went to the temple year after year, prayed and wept. And God said, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you. Because the reason why you want a child or you want kids is about you. It's all about you and it's not about my purpose. It doesn't serve my purpose. It serves your purpose. And the Bible said that all things work together for the good of them that love God. No matter what, they love God anyway. And I call according to his purpose. What you want from me right now, until I bring you to a place and put your back to the wall and put you in a tight place, that everything that you want and hold on to and believe in fails. And you have to figure this out, that why was I born and why has God shut my womb? Until you figure that out, I will continue to shut your womb. Tell somebody and say, you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out. Got to figure this thing out. She wanted a child. Someone was biting her. She felt rejected and felt insecure. She fasted. She wept. She cried, and God said, your tears will move me. The rejection don't move me. The insecurity moving me, girl. You got to give me something better than this. You got to give me a reason better than all the reasons you are giving me to convince me to open your womb. I ain't open this womb because this womb is designed to serve a purpose. It is a vehicle that will carry destiny, a vehicle designed in eternity long before time began to carry destiny that will determine the rising and the falling of kings. This womb will produce a prophet that will anoint kings and prophesy over nobodies and they'll become somebody. This womb will produce a prophet and a vessel that will carry the horn of oil to anoint and to prophesy over Saul to become king over Israel, and another young man by the name of David, a shepherd boy. And I will lift him up, exalt him in place of his master Saul. I'm taking no chances with this. Because if you don't understand that this thing you are carrying is not yours, your womb is not yours. I design it. I put the man to sleep. I form it. I design it, and it is to serve my purpose. If I open this womb right now and give you what you want of me, you will destroy it. You will spoil it. Because you will think it was by your own strength and your own might. Deuteronomy 1:18-19. Deuteronomy 8:17-18. Deuteronomy 8:17-18. And thou say
in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth.
God said, girl, I will not give you the pleasure to say that it was your intelligence, your experience, your education, your skill, your hard working, your background that has given you your desire. I will not allow you to say it. I will so work you that you will know when it happens that this is the doing of the Lord. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Can somebody put your hands together for the doing of the Lord? You see, I don't know about you, but for me, every major breakthrough of my life has been the doing of the Lord. And that's why I am not ashamed to tell my story. That's why I'm not embarrassed to tell people from where I have come from. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because I was not supposed to make it according to the standard of man. It was only the act of God and the original intent of God that gave me the chance to become somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody? I cannot take credit for anything that I am and I will ever be. I can't take credit. I have to give him the glory. If you believe you have to give him the glory and he deserves the glory, open your mouth. Shout. You see, the reason why people can't give God the glory, and the reason why people hold back and people withhold and people find it difficult to give God the glory and find it difficult to honor the covenant in difficult times, the reason why they find it difficult to do what is required and to give to the house of God or to God what is God's and what is required of them, is because they haven't yet come to that place of realization that this is God. That as for this one, but God. Somebody say, but God, but God. But God. If you haven't figured it out, and if you haven't been at a place when your back was to the wall, and you were in a tight place, and everyone had given up on you, and everything you know and have acquired and have skills, contact, can bail you out and bring you out, but God. That's why, hear me, I tell you, for me, everything I own and have is God's. You want it, you can have it, because I don't deserve it. I don't save anything. I don't hold to things. I'm not one that holds on to things, because I have come this far not by things. And I realize that the true riches are not things. That's what the Bible said. That if you are not faithful, if you are not faithful in physical riches, who will give you the true riches? So there is what the Bible called true riches, and that one is different from material riches. Rich in faith, rich in mercy, rich in the love of God, rich in the grace of God, rich in the things of God. Rich in faith. When you know that you are but nothing but God, there is nothing you hold on to again. Listen, don't hold on to anything. Take it from me. Don't hold on to anything in this life. And hear me. Don't save for a rainy day. Save for the church. Save for the work of God. Save for the kingdom. Rainy day. You are saving for a rainy day. Don't. That is what people who are not rich in faith. That is what people who don't believe God and have accomplished things in life by their own power and intelligence. That is what they do. But for us that that are rich in faith, we depend and rely on the everlasting arm. Lean in, yeah, lean in, yeah, lean in, yeah,
on the everlasting arm.
Sing it,
lean.
You are leaning on. The reason why people struggle to do things for God and to do things for the house of God and to do things for the man of God, I was telling the church at the all night that so many people, especially in Ghana, find out that folks give downwards. They don't give upwards. And there's nothing wrong. I'm going to say something. Don't be offended if you do that. Nothing wrong about that, because it's your reasonable service and mine. Most people, when it's their birthday or special occasions, they give to orphans and to widows and all that. Now, that is good. It's your reasonable service as a child of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So you are showing mercy, and it is critical that you do that. But the blessing that comes out of that is that you've shown mercy and you will obtain mercy. But on special occasions of your life, what you should do is to give upwards, not downwards. And I found out that people find it easy to give to people who are down. People they have sympathy for. They feel, you know, sad for. Oh, mobo. Very, very sad. It's like we've developed emotional giving, but emotional giving is very dangerous. I'm telling you. Emotional giving is there. The Bible said, every good and perfect gift cometh from where? Above, not down. Then the oil flows from the top of Aaron's head down, not from his feet, from the head. The oil flows from the head. Thou anointed my head with oil, not my feet, my head. Some people saying, well, the Bible said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That is another dispensation. See, when you're studying scripture, you got to understand things carefully. That had to do with a different dispensation. But tithing began with the Abrahamic covenant, not the Mosaic. Under Abraham, who gave tithe of all, not some, but all, say all. I got to teach you, because you see, the Bible says you err because you know not the scriptures. And the only thing that deals with error is spiritual education. And if you lack spiritual education, you can err. You can be a believer and err and give the enemy advantage over you. Hear me? And Abraham gave to Melchizedek, who was above him. And Melchizedek gave him communion. The Bible said, without contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Don't forget these things. Unless we begin to sow and give upwards, we will never have the oil that flows from the top. The oil don't flow from underneath. And I need to say some serious stuff, you know. The bishops and the pastors will tell you, I am not a father who is jealous about my children being blessed. As a matter of fact, I take an offense when you don't bless my bishops and my pastors. I feel like you're exploiting them. And I'm happy for them when they are blessed. I give because I don't deserve anything. As much as I work harder than all my bishops, they'll tell you. I work harder than everybody. Sometimes I leave this office 2, 3 a.m. in the night. When everybody is snoring, I'm here. When we were building the tent out there, I was there from 10 to 3:45. Went for 3 hours nap and came back again. There was nobody there. There was no pastor. There was no bishop there. I was there with the technical people. Willie Bramden and the others, they'll tell you. And the Chinese people work till they couldn't feel their legs. They couldn't feel, and there was no feeling in their body. They were working. They were like zombies. And I told them, we must finish this thing. They call me a hard tax master. As much as I work hard, I still don't deserve anything. Because for me, it's only by grace. You see, and God had to bring Hannah. He had to bring her to that realization. So for 19 years, God said, I will keep your womb shut. No prayer, no prophet, no man of God can convince me to open that womb until you figure it out. Tell somebody, figure your purpose out. Figure it out. Tell somebody, figure it out. You got to figure it, because until you figure out your purpose, he will leave you in the wilderness like Israel for 40 years until you figure it out. And chances are that some of you may die in the wilderness. You have to figure it out quick, lest you die. And one day, she figured it out. And the Bible said there was famine in the land. A famine of the word of the Lord. A famine of the prophetic word. There was no prophet in the land. There was none that had the audacity to proclaim what heaven has proclaimed. And she figured it out and said, you know what? It looks like this is my purpose. Why I was born. So she went to God and said, God, I know you are bigger than this, but I want to cut a deal. Ooh, Jesus. And God's, okay, what is it? What is the deal? Talk to me. She said, I think I have figured it out. Why my womb is shut. And why you haven't responded for 19 years, year after year, you haven't mind me. I think I figured. And God's, okay, tell me. What have you found out? What have you figured out? And she said, you need a prophet. This nation don't have a prophet. I need a son. You don't have a womb. I have a womb. So I want to cut a deal. God said, go ahead. And he said, if you, a man child, I will give him back to you as your prophet. So it's a win-win deal. Somebody say win-win, win-win. God said, aha! Get up from your seat. Go to two people and say, aha! Get up from your seat. Get up. Go to two people and say, aha! Then tell somebody else before you sit down again, you are now talking. You are now talking. Tell somebody, you are now talking. Aha! Afe na okasa. Bako you all. I now understand your language. The language before this language, I didn't understand it. I now understand your language. And God said, it's a deal. It's a deal. Come on, go to somebody and say, it's a deal. Congratulations. Go to somebody, give them a high five and say, congratulations. It's a deal. It's a deal. Get up from your seat. Go to somebody. Tell them, congratulations, it's a deal. Now, as you sit down, turn to somebody else and say, you have a deal. You have a deal. You have a deal. And then tell them, congratulations. Tell them, you have a deal. Congratulations. You have a deal. You have a deal. Congratulations. So they went home. When they got home, Elkanah was making love to the wife. Hannah was making a prophet. The husband's purpose was satisfaction, self-indulgence. The woman said, you don't get it, boy. This is not about love. This is not about satisfaction or affection. This is about executing a divine purpose and a deal. I have a deal with God. Man, perform to fulfill that deal. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together. Give God praise for the deal. There is a shout of the king in the house. You see, until you figure it out, you will always struggle. I'm telling you. I don't struggle anymore about so many things. I'm telling you. There are some things when it comes to my personal needs, I don't pray about. I was telling somebody, I said, our children are not our own. Our children are God's. They come through us. But they belong to God. They are not our own. And our job is to figure out what their purpose is and why they came through us. And by grace, guide them to go that way. Because they come to go, they don't come to stay. Whether they will succeed and survive or not, is our ability to figure out who they are, why they came. Now, Eli had been rejected by God, had become a reproach. Ichabod, the glory had departed. His two sons, God killed. God rejected Eli. This woman had never had kids before. Her first born child. She raised him for some few years. And because she understood his purpose, she figured it out. And she said, you know what? I don't know how to raise a prophet. I don't know how to raise a man of God. The only person who can raise up this child is the man of God whom God has rejected. But his office is still relevant. He has been rejected, but the office is still relevant. So people came and said, hey, you got to be careful. How can you give your only breakthrough and miracle and blessing to the church when the man of God has messed up for sinning of God? This is not men have rejected him. This is God himself has written him off. Your first blessing, your only miracle, your only 1 million that you must save and do something with. You are carrying it and you are going to give it to the church. Are you sick? Are you crazy? Hannah, think. Turn to someone and say, think. Okay. The only reason why she did not withhold and she was willing to release it was because she realized that after 19 years, I had to figure it out for this child to come with the understanding that he's God's and not mine. So she took her only miracle and went to the man God had rejected, forsaken, and said that if he has missed it, his office is still relevant. Carried the child and handed the child up to the office. It wasn't just the man, it was the office, because he was to occupy that office. You can't dishonor the office that your children will occupy tomorrow. A lot of parents, we dishonor that which will save our children in the future. We discredit it. We fight it. We attack it. Careful. A day will come when your children need that very thing you are dishonoring, discrediting, and attacking, and refusing to help. She figured it out. You know why? Because God shut her womb. and brought her to that place where she realized that this thing is not me, it's God, it's not mine. I don't care what they do with it. I don't care what the prophet does with it. I don't care what the church does with it. It's not mine, it's God. Let me give it to God, it's His. God is responsible of what happens to it. He gave it to God. The Bible said, after that, God said, because you did not withhold it, you didn't hold on to it, because you realized that it took you figuring out why I shut your womb. That I shut your womb to allow you to figure it out. That I'm about to use your womb as a vehicle to download something on the earth to serve my purpose and not your purpose. Now that you figured it out, I will do my part of the portion. Open the womb. Miracle came. Handed it over to God. Under very difficult situation, very complicated, but broke through all the odds and still honored her side of the bargain and the vow. And God said, okay, Samuel is not your habit. Samuel is your seed. And now that you've given Samuel to me to serve the purpose for which I preserve your womb, now you can have your harvest. And the Bible said she had 3 sons and 2 girls. 5 children she didn't pray for. She didn't fast for. She didn't cry for. She didn't cut a deal for. God said, now that you've met my need and you've given me what I require of you, you can have more than you even ever needed, wanted, desired. 5 children. She didn't pray for. God gave it to her. Stand on your feet. Are you clapping? You see, until you figure out why you are here, what your life is about, you struggle. Whether it's politics, it's marriage, it's business, skill, gifting, you call it whatever. Hear me. Can I give you a secret? This is the key. Lay it down on the altar. Surrender it. Tell somebody, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Tell somebody, surrender your life. Surrender what you have in your hand. You see, the young boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The 12 baskets. I was talking to Bishop Jakes the other day. We were having lunch. And I said, Bishop, you didn't touch the 12 baskets. And he said, I didn't have time to work it. But this was, when we were discussing, I said, the 12 basket was full of loaves of miracle bread and miracle fishes. But those 12 baskets, which was his harvest, was in his lunch. If only you know what is in what you are withholding, you release it. You didn't hear me? If you know that thing you call precious, that last thing you call your miracle that you are holding on to, that you don't want to release, you don't want anybody to know. If you know the harvest that is tied into it, that you are keeping and hiding and holding, if you know the blessing it will bring to you, your children, your children's children, children, if you give it to God and the house of God, you won't withhold it. If the young man had ate his lunch, that 12 basket full of miracle bread, miracle loaves of bread and fishes would have never happened. The father gave him lunch, 2 fishes and 5 loaves. He went back home with 12 disciples, carrying 12 loaves of fishes and bread. And the father said, he said, where's all this? Where can we keep it? There is no room. There's no room. If you have an idea of what God has for you, he has a blessing and a harvest for you that you don't have room in your house. There is no room in your house to contain the blessing that is coming. But it's not automatic. If you withhold, it will tend to poverty. But if you release it, it will increase. The Bible says, there is one that withholdeth and it tendeth to poverty. And there is another that gives or scatters what they have and it increases. Increase don't come by holding back. Increase come by releasing. This morning, is there a possibility that all the struggles you are going through is because you haven't figured it out? Is that a possibility? That is possible that you haven't figured it out. That's why it has become wadantu waranza. Sweat. Sweating it out. It was never meant to be so. I'm telling you. God has already made a way out for you. There's already a way out. You will never find that way out until you figure it out. That you are not just here to be a doctor, a lawyer, a businessman, businesswoman, politician, or whatever. Even if you are in ministry, you have to know exactly in ministry what you have been called to do. Until you figure it out, it's going to be sorrow, ups and downs. And you see, when the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So there are riches that bring sorrow and grief. Yeah. But there is one that is without sorrow and grief. And that comes when you figure out your purpose. Why am I here? Why am I blessed? Why am I who I am? Why did I come? Why am I in this house? Why am I in this church? Until you figure it out, God has the right to shut that door. Because when he shut, no man can open. And when he opened, no man can shut. Let us pray. I want you to talk to God. You are in that position. Why are you in that position? Why is it not somebody else? And somebody is fighting you because they want your office. Somebody is contending with you. Somebody wants that chair you are sitting on. Unless you use that chair and that office to advance the church, the work of God, God is under no obligation to protect you. The Bible says, church, you got to figure this thing out. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but this message is very prophetic. You have to figure it out. He said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's not building your business or mine or your house or mine. He's building his church. The only thing that is important to him is his church. And anybody who builds with him, anyone who helps him to build his church, he's under obligation to protect you, to work with you, because you've partnered with him. Today, I want you to partner with, I want you to talk to God in your own way, that God, I'll partner with you. Tell God, help me to figure it out. You have to figure it out. Because for 19 years, nothing convinced God to open her womb until she figured it out. Heavenly Father, give us illumination this morning. Let the veil be broken. Let the veil be removed. I pray for divine illumination, inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:17, that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, 18, that you may know the hope of his calling, that you may know the riches of the glory, hallelujah, of his saints. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.